Live from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California, it's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you for joining us again. Katie, I don't even know your last name.
McIntosh.
Katie McIntosh is joining us. She's a new friend who I just met on the street along with the lovely Eden Alpert.
Hello.
Dennis Olson is with us today. Kathy St. George is still in the Bahamas. You bitch, getting a beautiful suntan. Sammy Jr. is here today. I want to say hi to Zach Herndon in Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana. Hey, Zach.
He's part of our original crew.
And as I say every week, I do not endorse Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they're crooks, nor do I endorse Tower Urology. Doctors are great, but the billing department is fucked up. Pardon my language.
Boom.
Boom. Thank you. Pardon my language. Now, as we didn't get a chance, we just talked about anything and everything. I did a Comedy Union 2 weeks ago Friday. It was a great show. Thanks for those that made it out. I don't have anything scheduled upcoming.
You got a fight last night?
Night four.
Night four.
If anybody's noticed, I'm going to, you know.
I was
really
embarrassed.
I didn't want to say anything about
it. I
wouldn't
be ashamed.
I said, you look like the winner. Yeah.
Well, winner chicken dinner because I kicked him in the huevos and we ran.
That's kind of
he started it, though. He started it. I got a wise mouth.
Oh, my God. I hope you didn't get this.
We ran. You guys limped.
We limped. We got in my classy little convertible. We got in my classy little convertible. The guy was still going, you holding on. And I was like, yeah. We just drove away.
Bye, bitches.
So that's what happened. It was after Melanie Bruno's fabulous party. Thank you, Melanie and Jerry. You're always the quintessential host and hostess and beautiful home. I was sitting in the bed the first time I was there, and I go, wow, your neighbor's house is really close. And she's like, that's the guest house. I was like, what? Christ. My dingy bachelor pad is rent controlled on Stoner Avenue, but you know, they have to blast me out of there.
Of course you live on Stoner Avenue.
Okay, so Eden Alpert is my good friend. She has the club Vibrato.
Yay!
It is the jazz club in all of Southern California. It's up at the top of Beverly Glen. It's a beautiful club. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been good friends for a while.
Finally.
And Katie is
I'm a casting director, so I work in TV. I have cast a lot of the shit shows you've seen out there and continue to do so, but it's led me to show development where I can find new talent and develop shows around them. Glad we've met.
Your office is directly across the street here on Sunset Boulevard, you and Eden are old friends. Mm-hmm. Do you know Barbie Kligman by any chance?
I don't. But that doesn't mean anything. I don't know.
She and her husband Billy Malone have been guests on the Bob Dean Show. Yay! And just Google her. She's a lovely, lovely gal, and I'd love for you guys to meet sometime.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah. She's big with intel.
Like me.
Listen, I'm telling you. I say this all the time. I'm such a jerk, but I have such wonderful friends.
I've never seen the jerk side.
You will.
Ask the other guy.
So Eden, Spectrum One, which is a great new channel. I can't not wait to meet Allison Marino as well. But she did a piece on you and your father, Herb Alpert, who everybody knows, that wonderful, talented man. But you can probably go back and check it out. But they ran it over and over again, and it was just a great piece about the club and you, your family, and everything.
Tell us their philanthropy too. I just wanted.
That's what I was going to say. Please tell us.
There. Thank you. It was a great piece, and you know, it was cute because I called my dad, and 99% of the time he'll say, no, we're not going to do something. But I think because I came at him for the first time and said, we need to do something together, it's our first interview together, and at Spectrum, I had explained the Spectrum situation, how you turn your TV on now and it goes right to Spectrum, mm-hmm. which is pretty freaking cool. At first I was like, why do I have to watch the news?
Exactly.
And then I got kind of addicted to it. And the producer, Steve Lang, and there's another guy, I'm forgetting his name, I'm so sorry. And Allison actually came to me. Allison Martino came to me. And then they came and did a whole big production. I mean, we did one night with James Tormé when James Tormé was performing. And then my dad said, yeah, let's do this and have fun. I was like, wow. Here's the beautiful part. When we went in and they were all ready to set up, Dad walks in and he gets on the piano, which he never does, and starts playing Rise. Just that's what he was feeling at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super cool. And Allison was like, jaw dropped, and everyone in there was jaw dropped. And Steve Lang's son was there, who is a musician, and he was, I think, 16 and just in awe of my father. It was really a cool moment. It was a very organic interview. And then Spectrum had me on the news the morning that it was airing to promote it, and it's just been it's amazing. And to be with Allison Martino, who's grown up in the same situation, and her father's Al Martino, and just be in the same life, but she does vintage LA. Mm-hmm. She's pretty big, you know, she's big on her own, but now her show's like picking up on another level.
Well, I've never had the pleasure, but as I said, Wendy Clancy and Ken Kirk. Hi, Wendy and Ken, who are going to be on the Bob Dean Show. Yay. At some point, I hope you'll join. Because you'll just love her. She's the coolest. Yeah. But
that's two connections so far. Is anyone, is there a ticker?
Listen to me. If you go back and look at some of my shows, because you'll find out, I'm sure that this is our 73rd show, and there's going to be people on that you've either had a cocktail with or you're old friends with,
Cindy,
or something like that.
Cindy Bell.
At what point did the show start having video? At what episode?
What? That was like the first 50 episodes ago, Sam?
First bunch or just audio only, and then, watch.
Yeah, the first couple episodes, of course, you know, the first one is Flying by the Seat of Our Pants. It was our first episode. Where we used to broadcast from the LA School of Comedy, 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persian Westwood, owned by Sunda Kronquist.
I'm going to get in trouble.
You need to look.
I love my Persians.
Sunda Kronquist owns the LA School of Comedy, and she's a big name in LA's comedy. She's a black Swedish Jew, and she's gorgeous. She has green eyes. She's from Paddington, New Jersey, and her husband.
She's from New Jersey.
And her husband Mark, have been together for many, many, many years, and they live in Westwood. And he's a prominent attorney in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. But her comedy is hilarious.
Wow.
And
she
talks about the Persians and she's hilarious.
We should do a total reunion of all the guests that you have on. We can have the party across the street at my office in the courtyard.
Can we do that?
And you can do your podcast live from that.
Oh my god.
Thank you, Katie.
It's the most productive 15 minutes of my life.
Seriously, aren't you glad you crossed the street? This is very exciting. That'll be fun as hell.
I love it when someone can go, can you come over here? I'm going to do this podcast. Want to do it?
You know what's neat too, though, is that you know, being in the bar business in Beverly Hills for so many years, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of big name celebrities.
I'm one of them.
This is what I was just getting ready to say, and I don't kiss anybody's butt. But you are just, you know, your father is hugely famous, and you and your club, you know, and that sort of thing. But you're just such a cool gal. You know, there's not a pretentious, but I mean, you know, and your body, the nastiest.
I can't say, do you know who I am when something doesn't. No, I'm just kidding.
I say it all the time. I'm like, don't you know who I am? And they're like, no.
Now,
okay, wait. Now,
I'm kidding.
How long have you guys been friends?
God.
Quite a while?
I don't even know how we first met.
So we met through two different groups of people. So we've known each other quite a bit. But we got close, I'm going to say, about 6 years ago.
Yeah, so you're all friends.
7 years ago, before she got married.
We
have
so many mutual friends that we didn't even know about.
Yeah, but we're just crazy together. It's toxic, good toxic.
Absolutely, I can tell from the minute y'all started talking.
Yeah, oh, I was at the wedding. Yeah.
And how long have you just got married just recently, right? Didn't you just got married, what?
In October.
Congratulations again.
In Murphy's, California, my new favorite town. Shout out to Murphy's.
Murphy's, California. And you and your husband just got a beautiful new home in Sherman Oaks, you were telling us outside.
We did. We're in like one level indoor outdoor living, which Katie saw before it was done because she was looking to move from WeHo up there, and they almost moved down the street, but it didn't.
It was so close.
Her, but
I mean, I couldn't
believe
get
her
it
up
was
there.
So right across the street. It'll happen.
Like Wilma and Betty.
It's so easy to get here, like just taking my whole.
You got a pool?
Got a pool.
You better give me that damn gate code, girl.
I got a jacuzzi that my husband says, if they're Asian, so sorry.
Oh,
we could get 20 of you in there. If it's us, we can get 12 of us in there. Sorry. I love everyone. So I know, you know, that wasn't very
good. Please.
Tinier than us.
Well, that's great. Now, how old is the house?
The house is from 1957.
Oh, how cool.
But we went in and did an overhaul.
It was gorgeous before the reno. So, I mean,
but
I can't even.
But
wait
till you see it now. All new floors.
Well, that neighborhood is so awesome, too.
An acre of property, indoor, outdoor living.
Stop! An acre? You must be loaded, with all due respect.
Think of what she can afford in Detroit.
Well, I mean, and LA, it's just because LA real estate, that's what we were discussing, it's just so outrageous. But congratulations to you.
We're very happy. I feel this West Side girl never thought she'd go.
That's what I would ask you. So, I know you're fine. This is really neat because we have had, I was telling you, Shel Talmay. Who is the producer who discovered the Kinks and the Who in London. He's a very, very famous man. But he went to high school with your dad and Phil Spector.
Mm-hmm.
And Shell was saying that it wasn't Phil Spector that created the Wall of Sound. It was some other guy that they went to high school with. And I think Mr. Spector kind of stole it from what I...
Oh, well, something, you know, we don't talk about Phil because that's not a good topic to talk about. I will say it's a sore subject sometimes because he used to come to A&M Records back in the day.
Of course, yeah.
Flying his gun around. But I did just say that out loud. But the
on the Bob Dean show.
Yeah.
Never.
But, you know, the thing is Herb has done a lot for that school. He has put the lights on the fields out there. And you know, he grew up there. He grew up in the Fairfax District.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah. So your dad grew up in the Fairfax District, which is gorgeous.
We're third generation Angelinos.
And where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school, et cetera?
Beverly Hills High. And I grew up in Malibu and Beverly Hills because my parents were divorced, and I would go back and forth more to my dad than my mom. So I grew up in Beverly Hills, and I thought West Side was it for me. But then going up and down Beverly Glen to work every night from Cheviot Hills, which is where I lived.
That was a great place, too.
It was a great place, but it was two stories, and my daughter left for college. I've always wanted one-level ranch indoor-outdoor living because I love to entertain. So this place is 5 minutes from Vibrato, and it's an acre of property, and I ripped out every floor. We ripped out every bathroom, redid it, and then took the master down to the studs and redid that. And it's got like a bar outside, a bar inside.
Wow.
The pool. It's.
I can't wait to come over.
A party house.
I'll bring my traditional housewarming gift, a cascading wandering Jew and a bottle of White Zinfandel.
I am there.
Okay, Katie, now what about you? You're from Michigan.
Yep, born and raised in Detroit. And then and my parents still live there in the same house I grew up in. Ooh. So my best friends to this day still live there in suburban Detroit, like Farmington Hills, Birmingham area. And then, are you interested in what I did after that?
My sure. travels. You I went tell to, us everything.
Let's see. And then I went to school in Pennsylvania, at a school no one's ever heard of.
Which is?
Clarion University.
I've heard of Clarion.
You have not.
I was born in now historic Levittown, Pennsylvania, but I've got relatives all in the West, Brownsville and Uniontown. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I was a diver, a springboard diver in college.
No kidding.
So that's why I went to college. So no, I don't have an ass. I don't know where it went. It went in the hot tub with your...
with all those Asians.
Sorry. Oh, bad.
Sammy's giggling. Sorry.
No, sorry.
But anyway, long story short. So then I went from there to Philadelphia, then New York, and now to LA. And I've been here forever, it seems.
And you're married?
I am married. Long story that we don't have time for right now, but yes.
But you were mentioning a nanny, so you have children, one, two.
We have one child that just had a baby a year and whatever, 16, February last year.
Oh, congratulations. What date in February?
February 1st.
I'm the 26th.
No way.
Close enough. But still, that's great. And your daughter's name is?
Scotland.
Oh, how lovely. What about your daughter? What's her name?
Her name's Kylie. Kylie Mae DeVries.
And she's your only child, one girl?
One and done.
One and done.
And me too. One and done.
Of my life.
I have cats.
You know what? Four legs are good too. But yeah. I got to say, you know, I get to focus on one, and then there's no competition here. Her dad has three more little girls. Ha ha. He deserved that. He's from Michigan, total football dude.
Oh, Nina. Shit. He's from Michigan too?
He's from Charlevoix.
Oh, my God. That's right. Because we have a place up north in Michigan. There's a town called Harbor Springs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lake house up there, which is really near Charlevoix, which is actually an adorable town.
Well,
sorry,
guys. It's the Jewish resort town from Bloomfield. Mm-hmm. Where you're from, it goes from 2,500 population to 30,000 in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super beautiful. Cool.
What is it in New York where all the Jewish people go?
Long Island? Hamptons?
They were just doing it on the Marvel and Mrs. Maisel. They had the, the big resorts where they, you know.
The name of the resort or the
Hamptons? Resorts.
The Berkshires? Wait, no, that's not.
That's a town, right?
I don't know.
Can you tell Shecky Green a New Yorker? I respect and love them. But I was very uncomfortable in the Hamptons. I felt, wow, I'm super cash. This is
A little over the
top.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. You know, and I was hanging out with a very famous actor, Alec Baldwin, so I could have really gone.
Who I wanted to marry at one point.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Me too.
But my sister did a one-woman show with.
Fell in love with him on Knots Landing, baby.
Oh my God! What about that show? Now I'm aging. Right
now. Listen, I just went to we went to the cul-de-sac. I found it. It's real. It's in
Sherman Oaks.
No, it's real easy to find. And it hasn't changed at all. I did a little documentary. I go, this is the house that Miss Ellie bought for Gary and Valene. And next door, of course, was Karen and Sid. And Sid, who died, and then she married the other guy. And then there was, what's her name, the redhead and her husband. And then next to them was the Abby Cunningham Ewing, who ruined Val's. And then next to them was Kenny and what's her name. But they were only on for two seasons because they moved to Nashville.
I can't believe it.
It's in the Knollwood Estates. It's really easy to find. We'll have to drive out there someday. We'll take the convertible. It's real fun.
I don't know if you'd love to do that.
And I've had a guy.
I like that if we're not like on a set somewhere. I don't give a shit about. I mean, I grew up in Beverly Hills with the cars going on Maple Drive.
What's your social security number?
Well, no, I mean, I'm just curious about. I love talking about my friends, but I also love urban development, things like that. Yeah. And you know who else lived, at least technically, on Maple Street was Burns and Allen.
Oh, wow.
On the Burns and Allen show, they refer to, you know, they live on Maple Drive.
Yeah. No, I like that you get specific, though. I get like that, too. I asked what hospital people were born in.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, details are important. That's like, why my stories are always long.
And we ended up on Nightmare on Elm Street, which was the next one over, because the Menendez brothers lived down the street from us.
Did you know them?
No, but a lot of people we grew up with did. But we had been robbed 2 years prior to them killing their parents. And I don't know if you remember this, but the whole story was that they were robbing houses in the valley. Mm-hmm. So we had just, it's a long story. To make it short, my stepdad was knocked over the head by the robbers. They tied up the cooks, and they were looking for furs that they heard my mom had, and they stole like $250,000 worth of jewelry. And everyone was fine, but I was living in Chicago at the time, and I was getting phone calls like, we hope your dad's okay. We heard on the news. And I immediately go to my dad, not my stepfather. And it was a pretty... And then
I'm sure it was terrifying.
And his brothers did that. And it literally, they lived the next block down. So they immediately thought it was them for a minute.
Suspect number one.
Because they were stealing and breaking into homes.
Wow.
So I call it Nightmare on Elm Street, even though it wasn't, you know, Dionne Warwick lived across the street and her son I was friends with. So, you know, it was good stuff.
We just watched Clueless the other night. I love that movie. I love that movie. And when I'd been hearing about The Witch's House for years and years and years.
That's my friend Michael LeBeau, who's an amazing singer.
I've heard
that he's... You need to get him on here.
Please.
Michael LeBeau.
I've heard wonderful things about the man. I've heard about the...
very talented.
That's what I've heard. But I've heard about The Witch's House, and I didn't even put two and two together until she was walking by, and I'm like, holy crap, that's, you know, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, well, that's where we all went to.
But I loved how she, you know, she got, in the beginning when she's narrating, she's like, my best friend Dee, we were named after total Deb celebrities at the time, because she's Cher and her best friend is black and she's Dionne.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny.
Now, where do you live? You live in West Hollywood?
I live in West Hollywood now, like over by the Pacific Design Center.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it. I love it. I really, really do.
She lives on the street with that my dad bought his first house on.
Yes.
What street?
We won't ask for the number. Westport.
Yeah. See, you know, Lucille Ball had her first house in West Hollywood, too.
Oh, my God. I
don't know if I knew that. I didn't know that.
You have to Google it. I was just one of those. You know how you start off, you know, after two martinis and I've got a half a pack of cigarettes and I'll go, I think I want to go to YouTube and look at one video. And the next thing you know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, why am I listening to Doris Day? But it was one of those deals. You know, and it's really interesting, Tori, too, because her brother, I saw this documentary. I think he's probably passed, too. But she's from, like, Jamestown, New York. And do you know her little brother shot and killed the neighbor boy by accident?
In West Hollywood?
No. In New York.
Wow.
But when she moved out here, she was very young. And she was, like, the queen of the B-movies before. I Love Lucy, she was in her 40s when she started that.
Isn't that crazy? Really? Like, how, like, now, like, I feel like people get famous when they're, like, teenagers, you know, 14, whatever. And, you know, back in the day, nothing happened for a lot of people until they were over 40.
This movie that she did with Jimmy Stewart, and I don't remember the name of it, but she plays this, and it's just sad.
Yeah.
It's like a car wreck. You can't take your eyes off it. She plays the girlfriend, like, she's a dancer, and she's, like, the, you know, the mob boss is married, but she's, like, his concubine, and something happens.
Was she tall?
No.
In my head, she's tall. I mean, I don't know.
But let me tell you real quick before I forget, because you got to look it up. And Jimmy Stewart was like a busboy in this club, and she has an accident. I won't go into the details, but she loses her... she becomes paralyzed. Well, she wants to go to Miami. She wants to go to Miami because she knows she's going to get this mob boss back, and Jimmy Stewart pushes her from New York to Miami in a wooden wheelchair, and they're like, and they're like with the thing going real slow.
That's funny.
It is. Bless her heart.
I love her. All I think about is Stomping Grapes when you mention her name.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
I'm determined. I don't know why it's a bucket list, but I just want to feel those things.
Well, you're going to Italy.
Well, I know, but in Murphy's every year they do grape stomp.
Oh,
but
right,
we have a house there, and we haven't even gone to stomp grapes yet.
Girl, you need to get your toes in those grapes.
I know. I want to feel that.
Had I known, we would have bought a bunch of grapes in a big old
pit. How fun
would
that be?
Hello.
But West Hollywood is awesome. I love it there. There's so much to do. It's great, convenient to everything.
Well, see, you can walk, too.
Everything. My nail salon, my tanning salon, dry cleaners,
West Hollywood is a pain in the ass if you're coming from, like, I milk Santa Monica for the address, but we're right where Brentwood and Santa Monica come together. Stoner Avenue.
Sure is a nightmare.
Yeah. You go anywhere, like the neighborhood where we...
Crossing over the 405.
As soon as you get to, like, Century City, like, forget it.
Well, it's actually...
Even actually before that, because Beverly Glen is kind of where the shit show starts now.
Well, oh, you know, exactly. It really starts where Wilshire and the 405, or the 405 start, you know, right by the veterans.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's where I got all twisted up the last time we were supposed to do the show.
And the lights don't sync up. Nope, they don't. The ones going through right downtown Westwood, like through Westwood Boulevard.
And I said that we were in the car the other day, and I was bitching. I'm not a...
You?
Oh, yeah. And you're Dennis said something, and I go, if you don't fucking like the way I drive, then don't fucking ride with me. And he was so offended, and I go, and if you don't believe that I tell that to every friend that's a blind, our friend Shirley, she's been blind since birth, okay? And we've been friends for many, many years, and we read to, you know, read and all that, but she's at UCLA, she's a brilliant woman, and she can get anywhere in Los Angeles with her guide dog. And, but she, you know, I used to drive around forever, and she'd be like, you're going to get a shot. And I'm like, if you don't like it, then get out.
Oh, I kind of say that to my husband.
Well, that's why I still have my 1991 Buick Roadmaster station wagon with the wood sides. It's all beat up because it's very threatening.
I mean,
it's a cool car. Me too. We have so much in common, Laura.
You know, shot.
I was telling the story about your dad when I was a kid. I'm 58.
I'm 53, and this is me.
Well, what it says is I was telling the story about my fondest childhood memories were when mom and dad be entertaining. And that hi-fi, you know, the television with the thing, you know, whatever. And you, they'd put on your dad's album. And they'd be like smoking cigarettes and drinking martinis and twisting, you know. And,
big eyelashes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Great, great memories. Great. Well, your father's such a talented guy anyway. Yeah. His friggin' music is timeless.
It's timeless.
Timeless.
He's timeless. I mean, and anybody that
doesn't, anybody that doesn't snap a finger or tap a foot to every single song of his, then they're dead.
Well, I think it's because it was that he took a chance. And this is something that he says when he would sign new artists, or, you know, now when we have artists, you know, do your own thing. Like, take a song. If you're going to do a cover, just do it your way. Don't do exactly well, like Dean Martin did.
Do you play any instrument?
I don't, but I have an ear for talent. So I used to work in my dad's publishing company, Rondor. Mm-hmm. Was Almo Sounds, then Rondor, and I think it went back to Almo Sounds, and it was sold in 2000 to Universal Vivendi. This is not the record label, which was sold in 1990. And I didn't know anything about publishing, and he asked me to go work there, because prior to that, I was in fragrances. He had a fragrance company. I started working there in every department to learn it, and I ended up working with my cousin Derek Alpert, who's also the president now of Concern Foundation, which is a great organization. Plug for you, Derek. Hey Derek,
what's up, Derek?
So we I loved pitching music for film and collaborating the writers, because I'm a connector. That's what I do really, really well, and I have an ear for talent. Based on him, my dad taught me to, like, when you feel it, it's probably good, but it may not be amazing. It's when the unusual ones come and I get the goosebumps. That's how I found Brenda Whitaker. Was someone told me to go
see
her.
She played at your birthday.
Yes, and that, you know, someone told me to go see her at the W on a Sunday night. This is years ago when Alex Quinn was doing his Sunday night cool stuff there. And I went to see her, and she's been playing at Vibrato ever since, and she got signed to David Foster. She's sung with, you know, Bocelli. She sang at Gene Simmons' wedding. You know, so she's somebody that I was able to, we built her following. She built it, not me. She's so freaking talented, this woman. I mean, she's just, the facial expressions.
She's like mesmerizing.
And we have this love for each other, because I just adore her. Last minute asked her to come up so she could really vacation at my wedding. I had a room that came up, and I said, get in the car and drive up here. And I asked her if she wanted to sing. The blonde. Uh-huh. Yeah, you might have. You left the bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't even know where I was going with that. That's 53.
She's awesome.
We're talking about your ear for music and your past and what you've done and your accomplishments and that sort of thing. I want to ask another question about your dad, though, because you said you're third generation. Mm-hmm. So where were your grandparents? Did they come from?
So, you know, that generation lies a lot, and they don't give you all the information you
need
all the time.
Ellis Island and all that.
I mean, she's just calling everyone out. I love her.
I'm so honest. It's too bad.
Go for it.
I mean, why?
I just say what I feel. I don't even know how to lie good. I get busted every time. So the bottom line is, I'm a bad liar, and so I don't lie. But the bottom line is, from what I hear, I don't know the full story. I know my grandfather came over on the boat from Russia, so I know that part of it's true.
From Yugoslavia.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical. Similar culture. And he was in the shmata business downtown, and they were middle-class family and did very well. My dad picked up the trumpet at 8 in school.
I was going to say, did he, now, do you have any aunts or uncles on your dad's side?
Yeah, I have an aunt who's 92. She's badass. Aunt Mimi Feldman, who has a 98-year-old boyfriend.
Nice. Like, atta girl, Mimi Feldman.
Yes, you go. And then my Uncle Dave, who used to be a drummer and then did all my dad and Jerry's kind of property businesses, kind of oversaw everything. And he's actually got dementia now, so he's... not doing so well, but he's so sweet, and he remembered me when I saw him a few weeks ago, so that was great.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So everyone's always been involved somehow.
Now, Aunt Mimi is a native of L.A., right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you ask her if she'd like to come on the show sometime? And I'll tell you why. Just think, it's because I love to have all different kinds of people, but as I said, I'm fascinated, especially in a town like L.A. that I love, for natives who can, you know, talk about, and like the when I worked in Beverly Hills, there were some folks that would, like, at La Scala and that sort of thing, that were natives as well. And they were talking about how, you know, the Beverly Wilshire was built in the 55 or whatever, but up until then it was like cow pasture.
JJ, we got to get JJ on here because
she has a clothing store. Right?
JJ, you know JJ, African-American JJ, she comes in with Cindy once.
Oh, yeah.
Actress,
yeah,
she's cool. She does the lips and... She's got stories, because she grew up here too, man. She's got stories of working at hotels and working for May Company and I Magnins and
You guys are connected. Bring them on.
Allison's gonna be the key because Allison Martino is vintage.
I cannot wait to meet her. I love vintage LA. Is the coolest.
She's like a plethora of information.
That's what Wendy Clancy tells me. I can't wait till you meet Wendy. You guys, you're gonna love her.
And she hangs out with her mom every day. I would kill my mom if I hung out with her. I am not that close to my mom. Her mom is so awesome. It was her birthday Saturday, and I know I love her because she's a Taurus like me. But you know, she's just a really cool chick. Allison's just a cool chick who was, I think, born in the wrong era sometimes, I think. Because she's so you know, she's got that whole vintage thing down. Her whole house is vintage.
When is she? No.
She lives downstairs.
Her mom
and her live on the same building on different floors.
And Wendy has been in that building since she was like 14.
Yeah, Linda Thompson's in there too. She's got a place, penthouse there.
When there was this older guy that was in the television, whatever. He lived downstairs. He lives downstairs, and he was I can't remember the gentleman's name. He's got a beautiful he and Cindy, and was it you?
Cindy Bell.
Was it Christmas 2 years ago? Cindy Bell. Mm-hmm. He wanted us to come down and see his place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he goosed me.
All the military stuff down there.
Goosed me. It went right up the butt, and I was like, woohoo! And I didn't say anything.
Mad.
No, he did it to me too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He did it to him too.
And then across the
Oh my God.
I love that building. And Wendy and Ken have two apartments in the bottom that are like guest places. One
it's
is
a great
Ken,
building.
It's a great building. One is Ken's man cave. And then the other one is it's bigger and nicer than our apartment, and
her apartment.
But it's she's like, you know, she's like, anytime anybody from family, friends, please.
It's a beautiful building. That's awesome. You wouldn't know. It's just an old building, but it's nothing over the top. But it's a great building, and the space is great. Like, Allison has a 3-bedroom place, I think. And then what she's done with it is incredible, and she made it very, you know, vintage feel. And she's got old school everything and pictures of her dad. I mean, it's fabulous.
All right, Miss Allison Martino, you better come on this show soon, please. And I would like you. We'll have Wendy, and you'll come back.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Now, tell us about some of your television.
Sure. Yeah. I've really been in the reality. We like to refer to it as the unscripted world. Really, since the beginning of it, almost. You know, from like right after the first season of Survivor, right when Real World was happening and all that, I started on a show called Boot Camp, and it was for Fox. And one of the producers
I remember
of
that.
Survivor did this shit, was executive producing this for Fox. And so that's where I started, which was a total fluke. I mean, just some background. When I was little, growing up in Detroit, I would lay on the floor in the family room, like with my chin resting in my, you know, the palms of my hand, watching The Price is Right. And I remember saying, like, if I ever get to that California, I'm going to go to The Price is Right. Well, sure as shit, I did. Back when I lived in Pennsylvania, I worked at QVC, and we were doing a remote shoot out here with Tova Borgnine, who had a line of products.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love her fragrance.
Yeah.
Tova.
So we were shooting something up at her house, and I had the day off. I was like a PA or something on the shoot, so I had, you know, some free time. So, and this is before payphones, or before cell phones, rather. So, mm-hmm. I found my way, before Google, any of that stuff.
Some of us remember that, kids.
So, somehow I found myself over to CBS Television City, you know, the lot there. Stood in line forever. I was by myself. And by the way, I was going to, like, I couldn't wait to like participate and be like higher, lower, da da da, and that in a million years was that going to be on The Price Is Right. I mean, I had my hair up very similar like it is right now, you know, no makeup on, just some stupid outfit. But so excited. Long story short, so I get my yellow name tag that says Catherine on it. Then they send you away, and I'm like, shit, I don't even know where I am. So I had to go back. I went, you know where we were staying? It's at that, what was the hotel on Beverwill and Pico? It used to, the Nico it used to be called, I think.
Well, before, but it's now Mr. C's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it was for a while. It's changed so many times.
I know. Anyway, so that's what it was back then. And then so I got there, and I had to go back to the studio if I wanted to actually be on the show. You got to go wait in line again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All this other stuff. I was like, I don't even know if I can go back there because now I probably have to go to work and all that. And I was just like, fuck this. So I went back. Waited in line again, and don't you know, I get called down on stage.
No kidding! And you're by yourself?
By myself, and I'm telling you, it looked like I went to game show contestant school. I mean, I was shaking like this, and I posted my hands, like shaking. I'm like, oh my God, and I had no friends in the audience besides those that I had made in line, you know, and Bob Barker and Rod Roddy were still there. You know, so anyway, through all this, and by the way, once I started winning, I couldn't lose anything. I won like two cars. I won.
Did you really?
Big Craftsman tool.
Did you win like the double showcase or something?
No,
or?
I didn't do the double showcase, but I,
that's
you know,
cool.
Spun the
that's
highest
great.
On the real thing.
I told you, I know all the right people.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? You won a car in the first round?
Oh, I have it on actually on VHS.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
But then we dubbed it over
it.
To like it's on
DVD.
Did
you have to pay the taxes on that?
Yeah, but I made like no money at the time anyway. Like you don't have to accept all the prizes.
How old were you?
Like
20s?
Yeah, like early 20s. Mm-hmm. And so I just signed off for everything. And I'm like, again, you know, I didn't make any money anyway. I gave, like, my dad wanted the tool chest. And then I gave my sister and her husband, cool. like, I had an outdoor jacuzzi thingy. And they
holy
had a house
crap.
In the suburbs.
I got
kinda
to
cool.
see
yeah,
this.
At the
it's
time, I lived
cool.
in New York in a one bedroom apartment. I couldn't, and I already had a car. Believe it or not, I had a Geo Metro, my first car. But I won another something similar to a Geo. And then I also won an SUV. You know,
I cannot wait to see
wow.
this.
We drop shipped the SUV to Detroit. My mom sold it in the Detroit News, you know, like one on game show, whatever. I think I got like 18 cool. grand for that, which is like $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
Back then?
Sure.
Yeah, hell yeah. But anyway, so through this experience, I met this woman, Dawn Stroop, who is still one of my dearest friends and has always been a mentor work-wise. And we had maintained a relationship after this. And she was the casting director on this boot camp show. And she's like, I want you to come and work for me. And I'm like, I don't know how to do casting. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what do you mean? But I'd rather do something than nothing. And, you know, I'll get my ass up and try it. And then one thing led to another. And then I stayed with her for a long time under her wing. And then finally, I think Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh, no, sorry. Real Housewives of Orange County was kind of my breakout casting director title. You know?
Awesome.
Yeah, and then it just kept going, you know, on and on. And then I opened my own doors across the street from here, probably 4 years ago or something like that. And, you know, so I've cast things from, like I said, the Housewives, but things for, like, on National Geographic, there's a show called Life Below Zero about off-grid people in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like that show.
As long as you don't have anything to do with Chrisley Knows Best, do you?
No.
Thank God!
I'm going to retract my answer and say yes, and then see what you
guys God. It's
oh,
about
this
the
Chrisley family.
The funniest family in America that now have moved to Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Hold on.
They're just, wait. The son just got arrested for meth in his car.
No shit.
Welcome to Hollywood.
But let me ask you something.
Nashville.
Is the father gay or not?
Oh, please. He's got to be. Well.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't want to
you
be
didn't
judgy.
Hear this from me on the Bob Dean Show.
Yeah.
But see, mm-hmm. since I've been unemployed, because every television show that I enjoy, like some daytime TV when I'm getting ready for work, but anything like for, I'm sorry, I'm a Modern Family junkie, et cetera, but I've never watched anything that I didn't catch in syndication. So I'm channel surfing now. And catch it up on a lot of what is hot right now. And I'm telling you,
they're hot.
I love to act and that sort of thing, but these sitcoms on
they're
TV just.
Though.
Oh, you think so?
Well, I think
I just
there's
want to slap
such
a
who
the Chrisleys are funny.
They're like, they're not, it's like, really?
Well, yeah, but they work because, and I'll tell you why, because the reason they work is that they are over
relatable.
The top, but
yeah.
they're on some level relatable.
Yeah.
They are totally unafraid to expose their flaws, you know what I mean? And look at any
and
successful.
The accents are.
Yeah, and that, yeah, location's a big thing. Accents are great, you know? Like, look at, like, Alaska had a huge moment. It's still having it. Like, bearded men. You know, was a big thing. Hi, you guys missed your moment.
Were you on the show?
Let's bring it back.
Well, you're the casting director, girl. I'll send you my headshot.
I actually brought her someone for a show.
Wait, you know, we're about to partner with that, but then the other doctor who's in it with us flew the coop, so we're in a whole thing about trying to round, you know, ring.
So we'll get Dr. Mac Moritz on
here.
He's a plastic surgeon here in South Carolina.
We've been doing this for 3 years probably. Yeah. No, and she totally connected us. And so hopefully that's one of the projects that we have moving forward, but TBD.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So there's a whole gamut of stuff, whole gamut of all.
Well, there's a new one that's they're plugging on USA, and it's about this overweight blonde woman and her family, the Radkeys. Have you seen the promos?
Oh, no, but the promos are hilarious. She does like the spoof on the Housewives Open.
The only thing that I want to see is when she's bitching at somebody in the school.
Yeah.
She's like, didn't look like you were waving with a finger to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to watch that. You know what's funny is I cast these things and then they go away. I don't have time to watch TV anymore.
But to answer that real quick before I forget is that I put up on Facebook, I said, does anybody back home know who these people are and why they're famous?
Uh-huh.
And everybody, my friends were like, oh, they're hilarious, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then another friend of mine, no names mentioned, but he is married to a very prominent Belle Mead, which is Beverly, or Hancock Park Moore-ish, mm-hmm. you know, old money.
Yeah.
And not like Brentwood. Brentwood's the new money. and anyway, my friend, very good friend, who shall remain nameless, said that that certain person on TV is running around with another certain homosexual in Nashville, but I'm not going to drop any names on the Bob Dean show.
I can't even figure it out right now because I just
know there's so much scratch surface to scratch.
What homo Nashville?
Is why, and you're right across the street, so I hope that you'll pop over and join us from time to time.
I absolutely be my
great.
Pleasure.
Because Kathy St. George, who I was, you know, you've met her.
I met her.
She's a doll. You'll love her. She was Miss August of 1982.
Nice.
And she's
August.
That's Playboy.
Yeah, I was going to say my birthday's in August. So
and Maybelline, her dog, she's brought other playmates on and that sort of thing.
My dog's name is Molly. Maybe she'll get along with Maybelline.
Absolutely.
And I'll bring Luca. I have a little Luca.
And I'll bring. We have 8 cats right now.
Oh, good Lord!
But don't tell the landlord.
I know
that's a lot of hair.
Well, we foster.
Oh, sorry.
I know.
For two gay men.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, I only tell people I'm queer so the women think they're safe. Oh, honey, did your boyfriend break up with you? I got white Zinfandel up at my place. Come on, maybe you can turn me around.
Zinfandel or rosé?
Zinfandel. But anyway, I've been fostering for years.
That's awesome.
And we just took in 3 6-week-old feral kittens.
Mm.
Yeah, and we'll only have them for a couple of weeks. But we've got 5 adult cats, and that's what I do in my act about being a white man of privilege. I'm like, you don't know anything about how hard I had it growing up. Our swimming pool didn't have a diving board. Well, that's what I'm saying.
And
my father made me get a job to pay for a new convertible top. It was rough. And then I go, nobody knows anything about it. I said, I read to the blind of the Braille Institute, and I've been fostering animals in my home for 10 years.
Awesome.
I've got 5 cats in 1-bedroom apartment, 3 of whom are black. But the adult cats, so they all get along like they're from the same litter, so I haven't been aggressive about trying to find homes for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think it's so important to take care of pets, everybody.
I just love them. I wish I had a bigger place to take in more. I love dogs, too.
We were talking about, I was looking at the Oriental short hair cats, because, you know, have you ever looked at them? They have these amazing ears. They look like little, aliens. They have these great big ears and these very sexy, sleek faces and short hair, and they're a little bit hypoallergenic. And my daughter's really allergic, but we have a lot of rats being up in the hills now, and so I don't want
that. What? You also have coyotes, too.
That's why I won't do it, and we have indoor-outdoor living, so I'm like, we'd have to lock them in a room every time.
Yeah,
that scares me.
You got to think about that, because as a matter of fact, that's how I really started, incredibly, with getting into fostering, because I had 3 neighbors from my building that moved up into the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And my one friend, Nicole, on Beverly Glen. And you just can't.
I see them every night.
No, the coyotes.
Every night.
And
they are brutal. They're starving and they're brutal.
That's why
listen,
there are coyotes now in West Hollywood.
No,
honey, there was coyotes on Cheviot Hill.
Yeah,
I saw one on Olympic. And I was coming down Olympic on the way home from work. And it was crossing over Overland. I'm like, right there.
No,
1 o'clock in the morning.
I saw it too one night coming home from Vibrato when I lived over there, just tooling around. And 2 weeks ago, I was driving around in the valley. It was just getting dark. And I literally pulled over to take a picture of a coyote who was looking at me and I was looking at him. I felt bad for him. And I wanted to do something on Next Door and say something. And I just, you know what? They're skinny. They're scrawny.
Yeah, you can't have any outdoor pets where you are, because I saw a whole pack of them one night on Mulholland and Beverly Glen.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
At like 7 o'clock on a Saturday night.
And you can hear it.
Oh, God. No, that's sick.
Yeah, you can hear them crying and the dogs.
Oh, I don't mind the dogs crying. I hear nightmares.
Oh, the packs.
When they get something.
Well, you know, it's like my friend Nicole, who now lives in Long Beach, she and her husband Ben. And it's a funny story because they moved there because of their pets, because they need blah, blah, blah. And they were, she's like, I don't want to fucking move to Long Beach. I don't want to. And now you can't. They just love it. Long Beach is really cool.
Yeah, I have my family.
It's really cool right now. And they have a beautiful condo that's a walking distance, everything. But the whole point of the story is when you're coming, like if you're coming from your club down the hill, the first traffic light before you really get into the Glen.
Yeah. Right there.
That her house was on, she and Hans had
on
a place.
Nakata.
It's like a flat gray big garage door. You can't see anything but the wall in the back of the house. But, you know, you go up the stairs in the patio and it's gorgeous. But I dropped her off one night at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I picked her up at the airport. And there's one street light that's like, you know, like the cone,
yeah,
like in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a damn cow. It was this huge old coyote just standing in the middle of the street. And it was so creepy. I'm like, roll the window up, lock it.
Right.
Yeah.
This one let me take pictures, and he kept stopping and like looking at me, and I literally pulled the car over, and I was like, you know, trying to do it with my phone, but I didn't know if someone was behind me, so I didn't want to get in some crazy accident. But I pulled over because it was on one of the side streets in the valley, and like by Valley Vista, and he just stopped and looked at me, and I wasn't afraid. I just felt bad because it is an animal that's just trying to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone hates coyotes. I know that, but we've taken over their environment.
Well, exactly, and that's the whole thing about, you know, there were in my neighborhood in Bellevue in Nashville, nice area. Like, well, I don't have a home there anymore, but it was like Thousand Oaks or Agoura Hills kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the coyotes were coming into that area too, and it's all because of overbuilding and deer and everything like that.
Where are
they
gonna
all getting
go?
Exactly.
You know, you just got to, I don't let our little dog is only 6 pounds. So we have hawks and an owl and two bunnies that live in our backyard. So when we go out, he literally stops to make sure I'm walking all the way over to the grass with him. He like stops and looks at, and two hawks were flying over the other day. And I was standing next to him. But when I saw this one like looking, I just went and stood over him. You know, you just got
to. Well, you have to be because those things, and they're in and out before you even know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yep. There was a commercial. 5 minutes?
Wow, that was fast. We got to do this again.
I know. Yeah. It's fun, isn't it?
Let's
I told
part
you.
Part two. Part
okay,
two.
Okay, wait. Do we have time to play just a couple of rounds? Sammy Junior, what's going on tonight, real quick? You want to tell us?
Oh, I have the premiere of Historical Roasts over at the Landmark.
Woo!
Congratulations.
Yay. Congratulations.
And Sammy produces Historical Roasts, which Jeff Ross is going to be doing it on TV.
Great.
But you all have to go and see it. Is it's Mother Teresa tonight?
No. It's the premiere of the Netflix show.
Congratulations to you. Wow. Yay.
Netflix.
Heard it first on the Bob Bean Show. Yay. Now, okay, we're going
to
play a couple rounds of Just Jump. And if you don't know what Just Jump is that Dennis is the host of Just Jump. And it's Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 etiquette book.
Okay.
And Dennis, first of all, he does the intro very quietly because I love listening to it. So, and what we do is he reads some questions and the panel tries to answer correctly. So, Dennis, please introduce.
Just Jump.
Okay, Mr. Olsen, question number one.
Does one open one's napkin in the lap as soon as sitting down at the table, or is it proper to wait until the food is served?
No.
Immediately when you sit down.
Yeah. Because I always feel guilty if I wait, if I forget. Because I'm like, oh, shit. You know, so I do. I think it's...
Always
put right away.
Yeah. Excuse me, this one would know, too, right?
Well, I have an issue when my husband doesn't do that.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry, babe.
Guests wait until the hostess has taken up hers before placing their own, entirely open if they are lunch size, or in half if they are dinner napkins. Napkins are tucked in for children. They are never refolded. At the end of the meal, they are gathered and laid casually to the left of the place setting.
So wait, we're supposed to wait until the host does the...
Yeah. The hostess? Supposed to wait, well, back
well,
then.
I thought you meant just at a restaurant or anything.
No, apparently whoever, you know...
That's
an
old book.
Oh,
exactly. It's 60 years old. That's
we
the fun.
We need volume two.
I know.
That's the fun of it.
2000.
But wait, so the answer was
that's
you got to wait for the host. If you're at a dinner party, do their napkin, then you do yours.
I never thought that.
Now, I guess that would be, you know, if you were invited to a restaurant.
It doesn't signify a restaurant
but if,
or house.
If somebody's home, I guess.
But I wouldn't have known the answer to that at a home either.
My answer was black napkins.
I always just put it on my lap when I sit down.
That's part of my act.
I had a mom who
Do you have Tito's vodka? Do you have black napkins? I'm like, the black napkins are made of petroleum. You're not going to leave any lint. Anyway, okay. So question number two.
I have guests who put the cigarettes out in my coffee cups. What can I do?
Tell them not to.
Leave.
Throw the coffee with a cigarette.
Go get a red cigarette.
That's awful. I mean, I'm a smoker. I don't smoke heavily, but I'm a smoker.
Look,
and I mean,
this
that's
book was back when people smoked in
that's all they did. What? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I want to hear this.
Very firmly, place an ashtray within reach and say, would you mind using this, please?
Thank you. I would do that. Yeah, I have a Christmas Eve party every year. It's called the Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Cocktail Soiree, and it's a benefit for the animal shelter.
Oh my God, that's great.
We park my old Buick at the end of the driveway, and everybody brings and stocks it, and it's really, and my apartment is small, but it's a friggin' blast, is it not?
As long as you have the air conditioning on, I'll be there.
Well, the thing about it is, though, is that I'm a smoker, and I was smoking, and my apartment is like this big, but there were like 70 people crammed in one Christmas Eve, and this little girl comes pushing her way through, and she's like, I can't believe you're smoking inside. And I was like, first of all, this is my party. Okay, give me just another question.
All right.
I only smoke now to piss people off. I really don't enjoy it at all.
I'm going to be a bridesmaid and have never been one before. Am I expected to buy my own dress?
No.
Oh. Yes.
And how do I get to the church?
Sober.
You buy your own dress.
Call Uber.
I've learned through the years.
You buy your own dress and they take you to the church.
Always put me on.
That's what I thought.
I think
they should arrange for you up here. You know, right? make sure you get there. Today's bridesmaid nearly always buys her own clothes, but she wears what the bride selects, of course, so that all the bridesmaids may be dressed alike. Bridesmaids assemble at the home of the bride a full hour before the ceremony. They may arrive dressed or dressed after they reach the bride's home. They receive their bouquets, and the transportation is provided for them from the bride's home to the church. Yeah.
Boom.
That's one thing that actually still holds true today. Yeah. I think the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I only have my daughter as a bridesmaid, and I bought the dress, but that's because
I didn't have any bridesmaids.
Yeah, I had one, my daughter. You know, it was like,
well, I've been a groomsman more times than I can count. Before I came out of the closet, too, but all my straight friends are all cool about it.
Now they're all saying, "Oh my God, that one guy in my party is gay."
You know what though? Like I said, I've been blessed with wonderful friends, and Keith, Jeff, and Dale are with the four of us. We're like the four Musketeers back in high school, and they're all three really good-looking men. They have lovely families, and they're very successful. And of course, I'm the weird one. But they were the ones that were more aggravated with me that I didn't come out, because they were like, "I can't believe you couldn't trust me." You know, I didn't come out until I was like 28.
Well, because in that generation, it wasn't.
Well, exactly. But my buddies were like, "Man, you know what? Hurt my feelings that
it's
and that we still
to
do
the flip side of that, you know, because it's usually about like how it affects you and you don't realize like your friends it's like your feelings are hurt
I'm sure they knew every one of my friends that came out later I was like
no show.
I know my brother Greg 6'6"
that's sexy.
Super successful man. He's in Thailand right now or something like that, and we're polar opposites, but we're like this. And I can't, it was a big deal for me to come out, and you know, and he picked me up at the airport. It was Christmas Eve when I came out to my folks. Guess what? And I used this in my acting because my mom, football families, and my mom was like, "You're my son and I'll love you forever." And then I go, "But mom, I hate football too." And that's when she goes, "That's sacrilege! What am I going to tell the neighbors?" I think we're out of time.
Before we go, can I ask a question about winning prizes on a game show?
Sure.
Yes.
I've always heard that when you win cars and other big items, they make you pay the taxes.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Two things. Yes, they make you pay the taxes, you don't have to accept every prize. So like if you're like, you can't afford the taxes, you're just like, I'm not going to take that.
Mm-hmm.
I at the time was so broke and so excited, I just signed everything. So I took it off. So somewhere
like,
I paid
taxes,
but they were taking money out of no money. Like, you know, so I never felt
and you know,
it,
I forgot to tell you this too, is that so you're the third person that I've that has been on Contestant Trail on The Price is Right.
Really?
My friend Randall Crawford, I was sitting at home with a hangover one day about 6-7 years ago, and there he was, and he won a couple motorcycles. And then my friend Mike, who used to live next door, Mike and his girl, and they broke up. He didn't win anything, but he made it up to Contestant Trail.
That's fun. I mean, it's just a life changer. This guy was one of the best moments of my life.
I can't wait to see it. Please, really, I'd love to
see it.
I'll show it
to you.
We auditioned with Nikki Kemp. The really gorgeous black chick that tends bar at Wolfgang's too. We all auditioned for Let's Make a Deal the other day.
Oh, how was it?
They're like, be excited. I'm like, yeah, you know.
Do Family Feud.
Well, you could.
But I heard Steve Harvey.
That would be good if you had a whole.
We have to go.
Everyone that casts all these shows. So if you guys ever really want to do it.
Listen, thank you all for joining episode 73 of the Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Katie, I forgot to write your last name down.
McIntosh. You got it!
Katie McIntosh, Eden Alpert. Thank you both, old friends, for being here. You guys are a friggin' delight.
That was fun.
Thank you. I hope that, seriously. And you pop over. We record record on Mondays. Anytime you want to pop over, just join us.
Thank you. Right?
And you too, of course. But I know you got to come up from the hill of Mulholland.
Dude, it was easy getting her. I had to wait for an hour for you to open the fucking door.
Well, I know. And last time was the same thing. So thank you for being so kind and patient.
I love you.
Don't forget to take your complimentary bottle of water.
I appreciate that.
This one has electrolytes. So I sprung for the expensive stuff.
What is my tap alkaline? Water in this bottle?
No. It's the high-end water. Okay. Well, we do have to go. Sammy, thank you. Break a leg tonight. Please tell everybody send a lot of love.
Good luck tonight. Sure.
Thank you all for listening. Please, please, please. We are climbing on our subscriber base on iTunes, iHeartRadio app, and Stitcher. And BobTheSurlyComic.com. Zach's been really, really busy, so he's got some shows to put up on my website. But please download us, subscribe to us, and ask your friends to do so I can make some friggin' money.
Yay!
Thank you, guys. Have a nice day.
Bye. Bye.